الحمد لله، نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله، وبعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. We give thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We ask for his salat and his salam on Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to increase our iman and preserve the lives of everyone of us to witness the coming of Ramadan and beyond. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept all our devotions, our actions, our activities, and to count them to be counted for what will be an open access for every one of us to enter Al-Jannah. Inshallah, tonight we are going to give a short reminder of the month of Ramadan. Alhamdulillah, I believe that every one of us are prepared for the blessed month in one way or the other. But the best form of preparation that a Muslim can make is to gather different lessons from the month of Ramadan, or to recall one or two lessons that he or she has learned about. You know, much of Ramadan is very, very close to us. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to preserve our lives, to witness this coming Ramadan and to live beyond. Quickly, we go into Quran chapter 2, Surah 2, Al-Baqarah, from verse 183, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the position of fasting in Islam. Allah says, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, O the believers, those who believe in the oneness of Allah and in the prophethood and messengership of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Abdullah ibn Abbas ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, he was reported to have said that whenever you come across the statement, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, he said, Istami'u war'u, you listen, you pay attention to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is about to inform you. Inna khayran ya'murukum bih, aw sharran yanhaakum 'anhu. Maybe there's a righteousness that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to command you to do, or there's evil who wants everyone of you to draw. So when you come across the statement, whether you are reading the Quran, you come across it, or you listen to any reciter of the Quran in any way, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, you have to listen, you pay attention, full attention to that. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after calling us, he said, Kutiba alaykum as-siyam, fasting has been made compulsory upon you. As-siyam, as-siyam in Arabic language, it means to keep away from doing something or to stop doing something that you have been doing. When a car that is moving suddenly stops to move, we say as-sayyaratu sa'ima, the car refused to move. Sa'ima, we use the word asaw, as-siyam, for that. There's a word in Arabic, we say al-khilu as-sa'im, al-khilu sa'im, that is the horse suddenly kept moving, it stopped moving. So when something stops functioning, then we see that thing is expressing a form of siyam. That is the Arabic meaning of the word soma, yasumu, so'imun, asiyamu, soma. And this is what Maryam alayhi salam used in Surah Maryam, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informs us that Maryam said to people, Inni nazartu lirrahmani soma. Today I have made a vow to do sawmu for Allah. What is that sawmu? Is it Islamic sawmu? No. It is not Islamic meaning of sawm. It is linguistic meaning of sawm. That is why the next verse, that was fasting and sawmu that he intended. وَلَنْ أُكَلِّمَ الْيَوْمَ إِنْسِيَّةً. My sawm that I made a vow to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that I will not speak with anyone today. I will not speak with anyone except the glorifications, the stihat, the yurot, the habitat that I will be doing for Allah. So we can see that the word asiyam or asawm, it means when something that is functioning, that is working, suddenly stops to work or suddenly stops to function. That's the meaning. But in Arabic meaning, in the Islamic context of it, the meaning of sawm or asiyam, there are many definitions given to it. And most of these definitions, they are not operational. That is, they are not good enough. Either you see this one devoid of one form, or you see that one is also devoid, is empty of very big pillar of soul. So, I know when you start asking the Muslims, what is the meaning of soul? What is the meaning of fasting? They will say fasting is to stop from stop eating, stop drinking. Okay, anybody that stop eating, that stop drinking, do you say the person is fasting in Islam, Islamically? No. Yes. Since we finished the Salat Maghrib, we've not taken anything, we've not drunk anything. Are we fasting? No. So that means that definition is not, it's myopic. Someone will say it's when you stop eating, when you stop drinking, when you stop having sexual intercourse. Does that entail the meaning of fasting? No. Some will say fasting is when you don't eat and you don't drink and don't have any intercourse. Since the Fajr al-Sadiq to the end of the sunset. Is it complete? No. So that means why we see when the Muslims engage in fasting, we see different reactions of Muslims to fasting. Why? Because of the definition that the person wants to eat. That is why if the definition is not fully developed, then it will have implications on the one that is using the definition. The best definition of fasting in Islam means to stop eating, drinking, having sexual intercourse, then or to keep away from anything that can invalidate fasting. Anything, not only food, drinking, sexual intercourse alone. Even your statement, your verbal, whatever you want to say, you have to work. You have to be worshipful. Because if someone says I'm not a Muslim, he does not eat, he does not drink, he does not have sexual intercourse with his wife, but his partner has become what invalidated for denouncing Islam. That has to do with the statement aspect of it. So abstinence from eating, from drinking, from having legal sexual intercourse, and from anything that can invalidate fasting, from the appearance of the true Fajr till the sunset, with the intention of fasting for Allah. So if that intention is not here, then that definition also is not complete. So this is the best definition that one can hold on to. And if you hold on to this, because you see that there is no way that your fasting will not be accepted. Why? Because you've gathered every pillar and conditions of fasting in your definition. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Kutiba alaykum as-siyam. He has made compulsory upon you as-siyam. Kama kutiba qablikum. When Allah says he has made it compulsory, it shows that it is one of the foundations of every Muslim. Yes, And that is why the fasting in the month of Ramadan is different from other obligatory fasting. Why? Because it's an act of worship, deen, for its service, because of our membership in Islam. Whoever that has membership in Islam, then fasting in the month of Ramadan has become compulsory for him or upon her. It is not the fasting that comes out of what? That comes out of the expiation, out of punishment, out of kafara. It is not a debt. It is an obligation on you. So it is only this fasting that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made compulsory upon every Muslim except those that Allah exempted from fasting. كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, as he has made it compulsory, the fasting, not Ramadan, the fasting on those who came before you. And that shows that we are not the first person to fast for Allah as a means of worship. People before Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they engaged in fasting. Yes, they engaged in fasting. Though their type of fasting may be different in terms of number, in terms of the period, and in terms of manner. But fasting as an act of worship, it is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has rooted in this religion of Islam. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ The essence of fasting is to gain taqwa. What is taqwa? Taqwa is the kind of divine light that assists you to do what Allah asks you to do. That light is the word, subhanahu wa ta'ala, Quran and Sunnah, because with the Quran, you know what to do. With the Quran, you know what not to do. With the Sunnah, you know what to do, you know what not to do. So taqwa is doing things according to revelation and not doing things according to revelation. That is taqwa. That is, you allow the revelation to guide your heart, your mind, your tongue, your estimate, your part of the body, in order for you to submit everything that you have for what? For the intentions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for the Quran and for the Sunnah. That's the meaning of the taqwa. As you can see, that when you engage in fasting, you will gain the taqwa, you will gain the piety. It is a must. Yes, whoever that engages in fasting will gain that taqwa. Not only in Ramadan, not only an obligatory fasting, even if it is recommended fasting, you have to gain that piety. You gain it. So, this is one of the benefits of fasting. When you fast, you gain a taqwa. That is number one. Number two, when you fast, you gain a protection, divine protection. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, As-sawm junnah. Fasting is what? It's a shield. What prevents you from committing forbidden things? And what assists you from doing the righteousness is Junnah, is a protector, is a divine element that protects you against every evil that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has won against. That is number two. Number three, when you fast, it controls your iman passion. Passion, you know, as human beings, we have what you call passions. It is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created every human being upon. In the Quran, Allah says, زُيِّنَ لِلَّهِ حُبُّ الشَّهَوَاتِ مِنَ النِّسَاءِ حُبُّ الشَّهَوَاتِ مِنَ النِّسَاءِ وَالْبَنِينِ وَالْذَهَبِ وَالْخَيْلِ الْمُسْتَوَمَةِ You see, Allah mentioned those things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created. It is part of our nature. And we have that passion. We have that passion for women. We have that passion for money. We have that passion for authority, for superiority. We have that passion for worldly things. But when you engage in fasting, whether compulsory or recommended fasting, then you will gain that sense that will make you to control your passion, to be moderate. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ya ma'ashar al-shabab, O the youth, when istata'a minkum al-ba'a falyatazawwaj. If you are able to feed a woman, then you marry. فإنه غض البصر وعفى الفرج. When you marry, it guides your what? Your giving. It protects your giving so that you don't look at what Allah has forbidden. And it also protects you from what? From illegal sexual intercourse. أما لم يستطيع but if you are not able to marry, then عليه للصوم. He recommended fasting for those who do not have wealth to marry, to have one wife, or for those who need the second wife, but they don't have the money to make the fasting to be their second wife, for those who want to go for third wife, so and they don't have the means for the fasting to become their third wife, for those who do not even have money to feed a woman, then to make the fasting to be their wife. And you know, when you fast, it reduces the human passion in you. It controls your sighting, your gazing, so that we not look into what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made forbidden. Also, another benefit of fasting is that, you know, every act of worship you do, you can easily tell yourself what will be your reward, the number of Allah that give you. Because Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has also said in the Quran by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, من جاء بالحسنة فله عشر أمثالها. If you come with good deeds, Allah will reward you with what? With 10. That means if you do 2, times 2. If you do 10, times 10. It is easy. Yes, you can calculate it. Any act of worship, even salat, zakat, any act of worship, you can multiply. What will be your desire? What will be your reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? But it's only fasting. It's only fasting that you cannot. Fasting is not when you fast, you have 10 rewards. No, fasting is not like that. In the hadith, of course, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informed Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that a sawmu li, fasting is for me. Wa ana ajiz bihi. I'm the only one to compensate whoever that fasts with fasting. So it is not the fasting. One, you have to read the Quran. You have to tell the word. You are kind to your parents. You tell the word. No, every act of worship can be multiplied to get the result. But fasting, it is only Allah Subhanahu wa Taala that will compensate those who are fasting. That is the reason that when we break our fast, our rewards are not the same. Yes, it not depends on what you do during your fasting period. And it not depends on the intention. It not depends on how you keep away from forbidden things. Yes, it not depends on other acts of worship that you have to your fasting period. So this is another benefit of engaging in fasting. Also, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that inna fi jannah baban. There is a door in one of the entrances of al-jannah. Yuqalu babu al-riyan. That door is known to be Babu Rayyan, door of Rayyan. لَا يَدْخُلُوا مِنْهَا إِلَّا الصَّاحِمُونَ. No one will be allowed to enter through the door to Al-Jannah except those who engage in fasting. And when they enter, the door is closed. And these are part of the benefit of engaging in the fasting, whether nafila, whether on Mondays, whether this, whether that, or compulsory fasting. So the reward is there for us. So, but, you know, fasting the month of Ramadan, as we said, takes a foundation out of the foundations of Islam, unlike other fasting. Yes, since last year Ramadan, after we celebrated Eid al-Fitr, if you have not been engaging in any fasting, there's no anything on you. There's no anything on you. Because the obligatory fasting is Ramadan. So the other obligatory fasting, they are what we call a fawafa. It is a penalty on you. Aside Ramadan, there is no any other fasting that is compulsory upon Muslims except the Zakatullah. Except what? Except that fasting has to be what? Penalty for what you committed of offense, like the Siyamu Abdiha, like a man, a husband, that likens any part of the body of his wife with the part of the body of a woman that Allah has made unlawful for him to marry, like his mother, like his sister, like his daughter. So those women forbidden on you, when you liken a part of your, a part of the body of your wife to any one of them, you are showing that is why we need to keep ourselves prepared for the month of Ramadan. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ayyama ma'adudat. Ayyama ma'adudat. That is the fasting that will make compulsory upon you. Has just limited these. These. Ayyama. Not ashhurum ma'adudat. Not limited months. Not limited years. It's just months. 1 month out of 12 months. 30 days or 29 days. Ma'adudat. This statement is a statement of calmness. If you give someone a task to do, and you limit it with a period of time, no matter how tedious is that task will be easy for him to do, because it has a period. And if you give someone a task to do that is not even that hard for him to do, without even the person a limited time, a fixed period, I'm telling you, you cannot do it. You cannot do it. Someone asks you to stand. So please, my brother, please, I'm coming. Wait for me. Wait for me to win. Wait for me to win. No, there's no any tedious passing with sitting. He's sitting, he's standing, nothing. But that wait for me can be 1 year. Even if it's up a day, you will not wait for the person. But my brother, please, can you help me dig gutter? Or dig a well, 10 meter, 20 feet, at least. You will try. You know where you are going to stop. But my brother, please, I'll give you 1 billion. Just dig. From where to where? Just continue digging. Nobody will do it. It may have to give to Australia. Nobody will do it. Because, but so that shows that this statement that I am a man to that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to use this man to do what you call tasliyatun nufus. Tasliyatun nufus means to pacify our hearts, to make us calm. Whichever pain, hardship, difficult that we undergo in the month of Ramadan is just a limited period of time. We are expecting it to come. May Allah preserve our life. When we enter it now, it is Ramadan that will say, go, go. You know, we are going. The first day we fast. That day we go. Another day we come. By the time you close your eyes and you open it, you'll be asking, as the sun declared that they started the moon, because, this year fasting, alhamdulillah. They started the moon, alhamdulillah, tomorrow is Eid al-Fitr. It's gone. It's gone. So Allah says, ayyamam ma'adudat. Faman kana minkum marida, aw ala safar fa'idatu min ayyam al-ukhra. Allah says, whoever among you Muslims that is sick or that is on journey, that the stress of sickness and the stress of fasting does not allow him or her to fast along, then fa'iddatun min ayyamin ukhra. You have to pay it up after the month of Ramadan. And that is why, if you are a fasting, you are a traveler, or you are a sick person, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us some help. So if one is sick, or if one is on travel, then, and you know that you can combine the stress of sickness or the stress of travel with fasting, it is better for you to fast. It's better for you because fasting with the people, with your brothers and sisters in the same month, is easy. Even if it's just 20 to 30 days, it's easy. After Ramadan, to fast a day will be difficult. To fast a day will be difficult. I will not go to Walima to Nika, or you go to dinner ceremony. Everyone is taking chicken. Everyone is eating it, you know. Something just because your mind will be telling you, why are you fasting now? You can break it now. Allah will not punish you now. Eh? Just for today, break it now. Tomorrow you will fast. You don't break it.
That's what makes some people not even to try the recommended fasting on Mondays and Sundays. Because you have a get together on Monday. You know, everybody is eating. Only you are not eating. Something will be telling you now, eat now. There is no sin on you. It's online. There is no sin on you. And you eat, you break it. And Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has even said, Al-Mutatawwi'u Amiru Nafsi, Insha'a Taraku, Insha'a Wasal. Whoever that is fasting on recommended days like Monday or Thursday, he is the owner of his fasting. If he wishes, he can continue to the end of the day. When the sun sets, if he wishes, he can break it at any time. So that thing will prompt you to break the fast because it's not even compulsory. So to fast 29 to 30 days in Ramadan is easy than to fast one day. It's easier than to fast one day or 2 days after the month of Ramadan. That is why. So if one can combine the stress of travel, the stress of sickness, would fast is better. That is one. Then if one see that he cannot combine the two, then that the sickness will get increased. The stress of travel will lead to something very difficult for the person to bear. Then don't fast. It is haram for you to fast. It is not part of righteousness to fast when you are traveling, that you know that you cannot combine the two. You break it. After Ramadan, you pay up the days you miss. Then the third one is someone that the stress of fasting and the stress of travel or sickness does not affect him from fasting. But so far he's a patient. So far he's a traveler. He can leave the fasting. Yes. You can leave the fasting. So if you take a flight from here to Ibadan, you can leave the fasting. There's no any stress. Yes, there's no stress without a traveler. But you pay up after the month of Ramadan. So this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying in this verse. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَعَلَى الَّذِينَ يُطِيقُونَ as for those that fasting proves difficult for them. This portion, this verse, this statement, some scholars said it is abrogated because, you know, the fasting as an obligation does not come once in Islam. It has three stages. Number one, it is the stage of fasting 3 days in a month. 3 days in a month, which is compulsory upon every Muslim then in Medina. That one is compulsory. Then the second stage, it is when Ramadan reviewed. When Allah reviewed to Ramadan that we fast in the month of Ramadan, and Ramadan then was still recommended, was still a recommendation. It's sunnah, not compulsory. That is the issue. When it is sunnah, that 3 days of every month still remain was compulsory. So if you fast the 3 days which is compulsory, then Ramadan is not compulsory on you for you to fast. While a lady that as for those who are unable to fast, who are unable, who fasting is so difficult for them to fast. It is not. But if you know that you are not able to fast, then you have to pay, you have to do fidya. Fidya to ta'am on the skin. Then you feed the poor or the needy Muslim. Allah says, but if you can fast, it is better for you. Though it is not compulsory, but if you can do that, it is better for you. For you to fast, if you know it is better for you to fast. So this stage, Ramadan has not become compulsory. It is on recommendation. Yes, and whoever that cannot do that will do what? Will do fidya. So it is a choice. Either you go for fidya or you fast. Yes. So, but the next verse, it is where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may be compulsory. Ramadan has become an obligation then. That is top stage. So where there's not any choice for any Muslim to make them to fast, except those that Allah exempts from fasting. So the next verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Sha'ru Ramadan, the month of Ramadan. Sha'ru Ramadan means the month of Ramadan. This is evidence of Imam Malik rahimahullah and his mazhab, that it is wrong for you to call Ramadan alone, to say Ramadan. No, he said you cannot say Ramadan. To him, he said Ramadan is one of the names of Allah, which there's no any evidence to support it, number one. Then number two, Allah says, Shaharu Ramadan, the month of Ramadan. So for you to now say Ramadan, Ramadan. Ramadan Aulana has come. Ramadan is going. We're in the month of Ramadan. We're in Ramadan. Without having month to eat. So Malikiya, it is kara, it is makruh, it is detested. But the other scholars of Islam said no. There's no any evidence. Not for someone to say that you cannot see Ramadan. After all, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in many narrations in Bukhari and Muslim, he mentioned Ramadan in the إِذَا جَعَكُمْ رَمَضَانِ مَنْ قَامَ لَيْلَةَ مَنْ قَامَ لَيْلَةَ رَمَضَانَ مَنْ صَامَ رَمَضَانَ. There are many evidences. So what Malikiya has established has no basis. You can call it Shah Ramadan, you can call it Ramadan. What is Ramadan? Ramadan has the Arabic meaning. It is from Ramadu. Ramadu. Ramadu means something that is heat, something that is scorching, very heat, very hot. That when you put something, a solid thing in it, that thing become melt. It become water. Like when you put shea butter in the sun, you know. It's scorching sun. That is Ramadan. So Ramadan is something that melts anything that is solid. That is Ramadan. So, by the Islamic context, it means a month that no matter how big is your sin, no matter how grievous is your crime, Ramadan is ready to take it away from you. Yes, and we all know that, and that's the reason that as Muslims, no matter how the sin is easy for us to do, it becomes difficult in the month of Ramadan. No matter how sin, crime, mafia, it's easy for us to do, it becomes difficult in the month of Ramadan. And no matter how tedious, difficult, it's a righteousness for us to do, it becomes easy in the month of Ramadan. Allahu Akbar. So Ramadan is here to take with all our people's sins. Tarawih in Ramadan, yes. If you wait to the end of the head of the Taslim of Imam, we take away your sin. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Man qama laylata Ramadan iman wa ihtisaban wafra Allahu ma taqabbala min dhanbihi. The same thing, fasting the month of Ramadan, we take away your sin. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Man sawma Ramadan iman wa ihtisaban wafra Allahu ma taqabbala min dhanbihi. So everything you do in Ramadan is a means for you to have your sins cleansed away from you. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, الصلوات المكتوبة الجمعة إلى الجمعة ورمضان إلى رمضان مكفرات ما بينهم إذا اجتنبت الكبائر. As far as you run away from the major sins, Ramadan, last year Ramadan and this year Ramadan is enough to cleanse you from your sins. So that is why it's called Ramadan. And it's only in this month of Ramadan that we have that privilege. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Shah Ramadan, in the month of Ramadan, and let us love the Quran. This month, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the Quran. Al Quran, that's the Quran that we have. Yes, Alhamdulillah. And it is only the existing revelation of Allah on the surface of the earth. All other books before the Quran that have been tampered with, but the Quran remains like that in the hearts of the Muslims and on the text, on the pages of the Quran, of the Mus'haf. Alhamdulillah. So, huda lin-nas, that Quran is a guidance for humanity. وَبَيِّنَاتِ مِنَ الْهُدَى وَالْفُرْقَانِ. It is also the explanation to guidance and also what it is a torchlight to see the difference between the darkness and the light. فَمَنْ شَهِدَ مِنْكُمُ الشَّهَرَ فَلْيَصُمُ. This is where the fasting in the month of Ramadan has become compulsory. فَمَنْ شَهِدَ مِنْكُمُ الشَّهَرَ فَلْيَصُمُ. Whoever that the sighting of the moon for the month of Ramadan is when it's sighted and the person is alive, because the dead, you don't fast for month of Ramadan, then you are not untraveled and you are not sick. The sickness that is not permanent, you don't have the permanent sickness, then you have to fast. The women who are menstruating, yes, they will not fast, they pay off. The woman who is experiencing the postnatal bleeding, they fast. She will not fast. She will pay up.
this is the position of Ahlus Sunnah. The Khawarij, they say, no. If you are menstruating, if you have personal bleeding, you have to fast. But Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah had that opinion, because there's a narration from Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, that when women, through the time of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, had the haid or the fast, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would not ask them to pray the 5 daily prayers. At the same time, he would not ask them to fast the month of Ramadan. But you have them to pay off your Ramadan after the month of Ramadan. Why? The daily prayers, yes, they are exempted. They are free. They are released from it during the period of the menstruation or postnatal bleeding. Whoever that is on journey, or is sick, then he should pay back. He should pay back for it that min ayamin ukhar. He should pay back. And that is the reason why if one misses a day in the month of Ramadan, it is not what Allah has forgotten. Yes, Allah does not forget. Forgetting, forgetfulness is not one of the attributes of Allah. So you have to pay up. You have to pay up. Yes, but there are certain rulings on this. If one is sick in the month of Ramadan, and after the month of Ramadan, he is relieved from sickness, he has to pay. If he or she does not pay up till the next Ramadan enters, then they become sinner. Yes, they become sinner with the major thing. They will have to fast the current Ramadan and do not pay up the one they missed last year after the month of Ramadan of the current one. Yes. In fact, from scholars, from Salaf, they said the person will still need to feed as a sign of punishment, to feed the soul, to feed the needy. But the majority of scholars do not hold to that opinion. And Imam Ibrahim and Al-Nakhayi, rahimahullah ta'ala, he had that opinion from other scholars too. That is one. Then, number two, if the reason why you made some days in the month of Ramadan, if the reason still persists, that the sickness is still here, you are still on the travel, hoping that one day you will disappear back on the travel, you come home or the fasting will go. So you are still hoping for that relief until death comes and the person dies. Why till in the state of travel or sickness, then the person will not do anything. The family will not do anything. The family will not pay up, and the family will not do anything. Do you get it now? Because death comes when the person is still experiencing the cost of living the Ramadan in the month of Ramadan. But if death comes when the person has been relieved from the cost of not fasting in the month of Ramadan, then the person does not fast. Since death comes, then his family, those who want to inherit him, they will have to pay off the debt that he missed. Not only to share the money, to share the houses, to share the car. They will share the debt of fasting among themselves. Or if what the person needed to do is to feed the soul, to feed the lady, then they will have to do that, because he had the opportunity to pay off. He did not pay off. Then it might become the responsibility of the family. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَيُرِيدُ اللَّهُ بِكُمُ الْيُسْرَ وَلَا يُرِيدُ بِكُمُ الْعُسْرَ. Allah did not intend with fasting to make things hardship on every one of us, rather to make things easy for us. Then we pray, we give thanks to Allah, we give glory to Allah, we do Allahu Akbar. When the moon is sighted at the end of Ramadan, Allahu Akbar. When the moon sighted, for 29th of Ramadan, the first thing to do today is Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah, Wallahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Walillahi alhamd. You continue this chanting of Allahu Akbar till the next day. Till Imam comes for Salat al-Eid, then you now stop. That's not what you can do, Allah. You observe Salat al-Eid. Alamu hadarsum wa la'allakum tashkurun. Then you give thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for preserving your life to witness the Ramadan, and also to do what is necessary, to do what is expected of you to do. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, okay, when is the Ayam? Is that Anabi? Okay.
And that is why the Salaka Ibadi Anni. Okay, let me leave this verse. Let's go to the next one. That's 187. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Uhilla lakum laylata siyami rafasu ila nisa'ikum. Allah said, He has made permissible for you. He has made it permissible for you. Ar-rafasu. That is legal sexual intercourse with your wife. You see, anything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala permits us to do in the night, that thing Allah does not permit us to do it while fasting. Do you get it? Anything Allah permits in the night, He does not permit it while fasting. And anything Allah forbids while fasting, He then will permit it in the night. So, Allah fast to mean legal sexual intercourse with one wife. Because beginning, Allah did not allow the Muslim to come close to their wives, even after breaking the fast. Allah did not allow them. It is a bit like the fasting of the Ahlul Kitab. No, the Ahlul Kitab will start their fasting when the sun sets. Till they sleep, they wake up, they continue till the next sunset of the next day. From sunset to sunset, that is their own fasting. But our own, we break the fast. When we break the fast, then we are still not allowed to have sexual intercourse with our wife. Then Allah says, "Alim Allahu annakum kuntum taqtanuna anfusakum fataba alaykum wa afa ankum." But there are some of the companions that they did that secretly. They did that secretly. They did it, believing that we know Allah can see us, but Allah will forgive us. Ali Fitaraku now. He is not easy now. His money. We have wife. We do not close. So they did it secretly. Allah says, He knew. Alim Allah, He knew. Annakum kuntum takhtanuna anfusakum. That you betrayed yourself. For doing it secretly. Fataba alaykum. Yes, He has forgiven you. Wa afa ankum. And He has at the same time pardoned you. Fal'ana. From today on. Ba'ashiruhun. From today on. After the sunset, you are free to come close to your wife. Ba'ashiruhun. Waktabu makatab Allahu. For you to see what Allah has preserved for you of the fruit of the womb. Inshallah, after the event, we continue. Wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Muhammad wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Hayya ala salat.
Alhamdulillah, salat and salam ala Rasulullah. When is the coma? The coma is when? 8 a.m. Now, you see after me. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَكُلُوا وَشْرَبُوا. Then you eat, you drink, حَتَّى يَتَبَيَّنَ لَكُمْ أَلَخَيْتُ الْعَبِيَدِ مِنَ الْخَيْتُ الْعَصْرِ. Until the true Fajr appears. There are two forms of Fajr. Al-Fajr al-Kadhim and Al-Fajr al-Sadiq. Yes, the untruthful one and the truthful one. It is when the true Fajr appears that we do it, that we stop anything that can invalidate our fasting, that the fasting begins. So this is what Allah says. So continue eating, continue drinking. Hataya tabayyana lakum. Tabayyun. Until you are very sure that the Fajr Sadiq has appeared. This is for some people do not understand. You believe in this hazard. And that this adhan is correct. and you are still continuing eating when the adhan is made. So if you are certain that the adhan being made in any mosque close to you is certain, is correct, whatever you put in your food, in your mouth, or food, you have to take it out. You must not continue. Okay, just because it is already in my mouth, let me go swallow. When you swallow it, you are not that different from someone that swallowed food in the morning. Because you are certain that the fajr has appeared. You will get it now. Even if that thing is here, behind the tongue, call it out. You are not allowed to swallow anything. Let them say, okay, if you have food in your hand, try to manage it, try to eat it. Who told you that? The hadith that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever that has food in his hand should take the portion that he needs. That is when you are not certain of the fajr. Once you are certain of the fajr, the Quran says, "Hatta yatabayyana lakum." So once you are certain, you are not allowed to take anything. The one in your mouth should be thrown out. Look at it now. So when you are not certain, you can continue eating until you are certain. If you are by 7 o'clock, 7 a.m., you are certain, then you stop. You stop. But if you are certain, you have to stop. That comes companions. Yes. They will say, I'm not certain. Those who are certain, then they will stop. Those who are not certain, they will continue eating. Until the ifar, the brightness of the sky will cover everything now. Now I'm certain. So certainty is a condition. So if you believe in the hazan or believe in the timing, or you believe in the muazzin in your mosque, that yes, it's punctual, it's truthful, it's reliable. Once you say Allah, you have to stop. Don't say, okay, but you're still calling now, you have not stopped calling. No, if you do that, the fasting is spoiled. So this is what Allah says. So ma'atimu siyama ila lay. We begin the fasting when the true fajr appears, and you continue the fasting ila lay, when the sun sets, regardless of the hours in between. If you are in a country that rotates on the day and night, we fast in the day, we don't fast in the night. So regardless of the hours of the day, you have to fast. Do you get it now? So if your fasting, your country takes 12 hours, 13 hours, like Scandinavian countries, they will have 23 or 21, sometimes 23, 30 minutes. You will fast. Except those countries that they don't have day and night. The night is 6 months, the day is 6 months. Then they will record with the neighboring country. But if you are expressing day and night, that is, the fajr appears and the sun sets, that is what should be your own counting. Regarding hours, alhamdulillah, in Nigeria, it's in between 11 to 13 hours. But in some countries, 20 hours, 22 hours, and you have to fast. And sometimes, it may be that their fasting is just 1 hour. I don't think we will express that in Nigeria. Hey, can even country can express it. They may have shorter night, or shorter. In Nigeria, we don't have everything is just the same. We only call it shorter. We don't see that shorter. We don't see that longer. It's not that visible. Because we don't change the time of resumption in school. It's 7 a.m. Even if the exact night is still 7. But in a place where they express that longer day, in fact, the difference is clear. But that does not concern Allah. If you they express day and night, they will have to reckon with whatever hours that they have in between. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to preserve our lives of witnesses coming Ramadan. Once we hear that Sultan has declared the sighting of the moon, don't wait for those astronomical clocks. We don't need them. We don't need them because we only have two formulas in commencement of Ramadan: sighting of the moon, or counting Shaban 30. It's that very simple. Why do you need astronomical calculators? No. They said it. And the moon will be born. When is he born? We'll now go to hospital. When you have to go to hospital, we'll now be born. On 19. No one can see the moon. This is nonsense and rubbish. Sight the moon. Once the moon is sighted, we begin. If the moon is not sighted on the 20th, on the 29th night, then that means we have to count the Shaban to be 30. Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam fasted 9 Ramadan. He never sighted the moon for all these 9 Ramadan. He will be informed that the moon has been sighted, and he will begin the fast, and he will command the companions to begin the fast. That is what we have. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala
accept all our devotions and preserve our life to witness Ramadan and to live here. وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.